This is a presentation of the Trine Broadcasting Network, part of the Center for Sports Studies at Trine University. Learn more at trine.edu.
What's going on, Trine Thunder Nation? Back at it again, episode 2 of Behind the Scenes Podcast. It's a beautiful sunny morning. Hey, how are your March Madness brackets going? Wait, this isn't the Gold Stripe Podcast. I got you on that one. Today, we're diving into our second episode today, and I guess you could say we're pulling back the curtain, giving you guys the inside scoop. And today we've brought two guests to our little shop of horror. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves?
I'm Sean Carpenter. I'm an actor here at Trine University.
My name is Aiden Smith. I'm also an actor here at Trine University.
Thank you guys for coming on today. We'll just get underway. What's the play like this year? What is kind of the whole main of it? And yeah, just kind of give a quick description of it for us.
So the play this year is called The Matchmaker. It's by Thornton Wilder. Kind of the quick summary of the play is there's this lady who comes into this guy's life. He's trying to marry someone else, and she's trying to kind of match up all the people within the show to try to win this man over and eventually marry him.
Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with the show Hello, Dolly, the musical, this is the show Hello, Dolly was before they turned it into a musical. So it's the same story as that, just without as much music.
Yeah. So what kind of got you guys, you know, into theater and just acting in general?
So in high school, my friends were all involved with theater, absolutely loved it. And then kind of my sophomore year, we were doing Shrek the Musical, and they were like, hey, you would make a really good Pinocchio. So like, you should come and audition. So I was kind of like, whatever. I don't think it's going to work, but... I finally went out, auditioned, got a role in the show, The Ugly Duckling, and so very small part, but it kind of really piqued my interest in theater at that point. So I just, after that, I kind of got bit by the bug and had to keep coming back and back and back, and ever since, I've been loving it, so.
Makes sense. I actually started essentially in middle school. They had a thing called Skit Squad, and the one friend I had in middle school was in it. So I was like, well, I'll do that one. And that led into, I'll do theater in the middle school, or through do theater in high school, and then continue doing it on to here. I had a very nice director in high school named Lynette Eklund. She actually did the special, the like practical effects for Beetlejuice, like the movie, not the show. Mm. It's very cool.
That is cool. So you guys are both actors, What kind of goes into that, like, leading up to the play? Like, how, because obviously there's more work that's done, like, at practices, right?
Yeah. So I guess I'll kind of start just when we first, like, get casted a role. So at that point, we kind of, like, go through and, like, we're just doing a few read-throughs of the script just kind of make sure we understand our characters and, like, the whole story. From there, we actually transition to moving onto the stage where we kind of get to start to move around and we like do all our blocking. So figure out where our characters are going to move, where we have to be at certain points. And after that week, we really get to delve into what are our characters thinking? What are our characters trying to convey at this point in the show? And this is all like, at this point, we're all on book, so we don't have to memorize lines at this point, even though it's a good idea to start doing this. After that period of a few weeks, you move into off book with line calls. So at that point, we have to have all our lines memorized, which is a really fun part where sometimes we just completely blank. But and then currently the part of the show we're in is off book without line calls. So whether we know our lines or not, we have to continue on with the show like there's a full audience out there and as we would on a show night. So now we're kind of in a point where we get to where we understand our characters enough that we can improv stuff, make stuff up on the spot that can continue the show without the audience realizing that we have messed up.
At least that's the plan.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Would you say it's pretty much the same thing for you too?
Yeah, essentially.
So off that, do you kind of look at like other performances of that play that you guys are doing and trying to see how those actors portrayed it as well? Or
Yeah, so when I heard that we were doing the Matchmaker, I had went online and watched a whole bunch of like YouTube versions of it, which is typically high schools. A few colleges productions were thrown in there as well, just to get an idea of who I wanted to play in the show. So when I go to auditions, I can write down, hey, I don't want to play this character. Hey, I do want to play this character. Thankfully, I got the character that I really wanted to play in the short show, Cornelius Hackle. So I felt like I really had a good understanding of who the character was going into auditions, as well as going into just our first read-throughs. Thankfully, with auditions here, you don't have to understand anything about the show. So you don't have to watch it beforehand. But I think it does help just to kind of, when you are auditioning, to really get into that character and show them what you're capable of within those two or three pages that you get to read.
I'm really more of the opposite mind. I'm more of a go with the flow kind of person. I very rarely, like they said, it was the Matchmaker, and I was like, oh, what's that? That's Hello Dog with that music. Like, okay, that's cool. And I just sort of sat there to auditions and came in and read my read parts I was given and was happy with whatever role they were willing to give me. And I think it's another thing left over from high school theater director. She adamantly said, do not go watch other versions of this show, because then you were just going to act like whoever it was playing it back then, right, doing it, instead of doing what works best for you as an actor. If you're spending all your time trying to imitate some other guy doing it, it's not going to be as good as if you find it from yourself and what you're able to do.
Yeah, and so the character almost feels like more genuine when you do. Yeah,
so you're still acting, but you're acting less because you're taking it from yourself as opposed to just copying some other guy. Mm. Gotcha.
So, yeah, when you guys play like different characters, like, is there ever like a time where like you need to improv more because something blanks, or do you guys, like, depending on your character, do you have to do like certain accents or act a certain way?
Do any of us do accents in the show? I don't know.
I think Joe. So Tyler is doing an accent. Not the other Tyler. Ty. Catman Tyler.
Yeah. He puts on a little bit of an accent, but he also plays multiple parts.
Mm. Yeah.
So with that, there's a couple of people in the show who play two different parts. So they have to really be able to distinguish between those two characters. And an accent is a really good way of doing that, as well as just costume and like just your overall appearance. I kind of put on an accent, not really intentionally, but just when I get on stage, I just have this, like, I have like a weird like stage voice, I guess. It's different than my normal talking voice, but it's still, I guess, fairly Midwestern. As for improving stuff, as like last night, we had to, I think, improv a little bit, but not much. But it kind of depends on the night, just how we feel and how well we looked at our scripts beforehand, but there are definitely some points where we've had to just improv stuff, and most of the time it's not even necessarily like you're improvising stuff. You can also just like they clearly don't know their line, so you're either trying to help them out remember their line or give them like a small cue that they can pick up on, or your other option is just to skip to the next available line that makes sense in the show.
Yeah,
which is typically what I resort for because a lot of times I don't know their line at all.
Now, he basically covered that.
Yeah. Besides acting parts, for people that might not be familiar with theater, what other parts that kind of go into like the opening night? Like what are some other key parts that people might not see?
Obviously there's like the stage master and prop master who are in charge of like the people going on stage and the table of all the different props backstage, making sure things are where they are, like tech sound people, making sure the microphones work, making sure they usually have a board in back to coordinate who gets what mic when, because obviously we don't have a microphone for every single person. We don't have that much money here. So you have to trade off between scenes and just keep track of who's got what. And obviously the light people up in the balconies, controlling the spots and all that.
Yeah, and then you also have our assistant director and stage manager who are going to be backstage, also talking with lights and sound, making sure cues happen when they're supposed to. And if anything happens, they can also quickly relay information from the lights and sound booth down to us backstage. And then you also have people like, we need people like ushers taking tickets, showing people where to sit, things like that too, that also go into it.
And how, because obviously some things might go wrong in a show. How do you guys kind of play that off in a way with other aspects of the show?
I think in a way we work with these people so much that we know spots where they might like trip up or might not be as confident. So mentally, at least myself, I kind of prepare beforehand for some of those moments, but of course you can't cover all those. Mm-hmm. So you just got to like understand, you have to have a really good understanding of the show and where you're meant to go. Cause as long as you convey the plot of the story, whether you get your lines right exactly is kind of irrelevant. As long as you convey all the big points throughout.
Right. In terms of specifically mistakes by sound and light people, I find in the majority of circumstances it is far better to just continue on with the show like that mistake's not happening. Because if like the lights don't go on when they're supposed to, or somebody's mic goes out and they keep going and acting and you can still vaguely hear them, people are going to notice it. I mean, they're obviously going to notice it, but it's going to be far less like show stopping if you sit there and wait for the mics to go on and like stop the whole scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like the last show we did, Arsenic and Old Lace, my mic was always like going dead or going out. Mm-hmm. So at that point, like we're told to project during rehearsals while we're not mic'd up, so that if we do get to a point where we don't have mics or our mic is broken for some reason, the audience can still hear us throughout the whole theater. Yeah. And like, I don't know if you remember during Vintage Hitchcock.
Oh, I remember.
The lights didn't go out when they were supposed to, so we just
keep going.
Yeah, move on and wait till it happens.
So you guys clearly have like a pretty busy schedule. Like, how do you balance like all the time between like theater and other like extracurricular activity and then your academics?
My academic schedule right now is pretty light, so I'm taking 10 credit hours, which isn't terrible. In a lot of my classes, all the work are done in class, so I don't have a lot of homework, which is really nice. And then after that, my next priority is theater. So we rehearse 8 hours a week, and then us two have to show up 2 hours early, or two extra hours each week. So that's my next priority, which I just, that's happening whether like any out of anything else in my life. But other than that, like I don't really have a terribly busy schedule, even though I am like a lot of places at once. It's for me, it's fairly easy to keep it all like separated. But also there's days where I might not be in my room for many hours and get to eat lunch. So yeah. Kind of sucks, but
I just do schoolwork in the day. It's up at 8, schoolwork till 4, little break to eat and relax, theater, and then any miscellaneous fraternity stuff after theater's over.
Gotcha.
I mean, we're both in senior design, which is a very time-consuming thing. But my group is pretty good with, like, I do theater. They understand, like once the show's done, I'll be there a lot more. But so they've been really good with that, which is nice.
What's the timeline of, like, getting prepared for, like, a show? So, like, when do you guys kind of, like, start to meet together and, like, figure out, like, this is what we're going to do this year? And then, like, leading up until opening night?
I think it's the beginning of the semester when we find out the show.
I think right? So. I usually, if I recall, Professor Holman. She usually decides what show we're doing, either like between the break between semesters or the previous semester, and she'll either tell us then, or more than likely she'll like be hush hush, keep us in the dark about it till the next semester when she'll put out the like call, like
what the audition.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, audition call out, which. That's normally on a Tuesday and Wednesday, or Wednesday and Thursday, one of the two. And then by Friday, we have the cast list of who was cast in the show. And by that Sunday, we are already starting rehearsing, going through just a few reads just in a room by ourselves, just like I said, to get a feel of the show. And then that next week is all dedicated to blocking, learning where we need to be. And then after that, it's just consistently running the show after that, pretty much. We have a few weeks where we can have our books, get used to everything, start working on our lines. And then after that, it's books are out of our hands. Now we're working on like gesturing, facial expressions, and focusing more on the little details, that the audience hopefully gets to pick up on.
So there's basically like the whole semester is just like, once it starts, you guys are kind of just
essentially
going through the whole year.
Yeah, and then that last week we throw tech in, so we do lights, sounds, and then a couple times we'll wear full costume and makeup, and then Thursday night will be the show.
Yeah, so, you know, because you were, I mean, you just had mentioned costumes. You know, how many, like, costumes, like, would you guys go through, like, in a weekend, or, like, how many times you guys have to change during a show, like, depending on, like, how many characters you're playing, or, like, just the different outfits between scenes? Has there ever been a time where you just needed to, like, your character just switched outfits?
I've been lucky enough not to have any quick changes or costume changes in any kind of capacity. Mm-hmm. But I know there's been quite a few people who have had quick changes where... Was it the last show where Chantel had one?
Or yeah.
Where, like, there was people, like, who had to help because it was just so quick. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think there's a couple people in the show, like Evunia, who plays Ermengarde, and Minnie. She has a few quick ones where she's swapping back and forth between the characters. Mm-hmm. So those are fun to figure out, and we don't really get to rehearse them, which is also interesting. As for how many costumes we go through, most of the costumes we have are our own outfits that our costumer, Joanna, right?
I think so.
Yeah. She kind of has a vision for it, as well as brings in what PH wants and kind of tells us, this is what we need. What do you have? What can you bring? And then some of the bigger roles, like Mr. Vandergelder and Mrs. Levi, they actually go out and rent costumes for them that they can wear.
So last episode we had Ian Hoffman on, and he kind of talked about commentary, and like I asked him some of the people that like inspire him, for how he wants to like portray his commentary. Are there actors that you kind of see that you kind of want to, or like, you kind of try to not do the same things as them, but like right. They kind of inspire you the way you do certain things?
Oh, you go first. I'm thinking.
I'm weird in the fact that I really don't watch movies or TV shows or even musicals or plays for that matter all that much. So I really don't have any specific actors off the top of my head. I'll end up watching like a lot of interviews from like people like Tom Hanks or some people like that, just to kind of like, pull what I can from them. Other than that, there's not like any specific big names that I could say.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot for this show. Barnaby is a 17-year-old, so there's not, and it's a relatively smaller role, so there's not a lot specifically to draw on. I remember for the last show, Arsenic and Old Lace, I put a little bit of Fraser Crane in it because he's a snobby old mm-hmm. dude.
Yeah.
So, like, going on that, you know, because you guys, you know, have inspirations that you draw from, were there any, like, directors or any teachers that kind of gave you that one piece of advice that just made you, you know, act, like, go for it, you know?
I can't think of a specific piece of advice that he gave me, but for the last three shows... our assistant director / stage manager has been Jacob McNeil, and he has been like really a crucial part of like the actor that I've become, just giving me like tidbits of advice on my character and like how to maybe portray something, or like the really small details on the stage that no one else had really pointed out to me before. So he's been really instrumental in creating like the actor that I am today, and I'm really appreciative of that.
I've mentioned her a couple of times before in this, but my high school theater director, Lynette Eklund, really mm-hmm. helped me a lot. I obviously was not very good when I started. She is like iron-fisted in the way she runs the high school theater program. So it was like drilled into me all the like fundamentals of acting on stage, face out, never turn backwards, upstage, downstage, project. Mm-hmm. All that, so it's all just been drilled into me so much at this point that it comes naturally. I don't even have to think about it.
So this is both of your guys' last plays, am I right?
Or yes.
Yep. This will be our last plays.
So what is that kind of like? How are the emotions with that? With this final play coming up,
we'll find out Saturday.
um, But I mean, because it's, I mean, I, like for me, I'm an athlete. And so I, like my senior year, playing my last games was just like, it was just rough. And like going into it, you have like so much emotions. How do you kind of like try to plan on just kind of controlling those emotions a little bit?
I think one of the nice things is with a play, and I'm assuming this is similar to also kind of athletic events, like when you're in it, you're not focused on the fact that this is necessarily your last one until after it's done, like right beforehand or after it's done. Because while we're in the play, like if I think if we think about anything other than like
the show we'll mess it up.
Yeah, we're going to mess up.
Right.
So I think we kind of have to kind of push that fact to the side. But I definitely think afterwards it's going to be, the realization is going to set in and it's going to suck. Mm-hmm. But also I'm glad that I've got to perform here for the last 4 years. It's a really good theater program that we have. So, especially for an engineering school primarily.
Yeah.
Right. And then kind of like playing off that, if you would bounce back to like the first couple of times you were in a play, what was like, what are those, how do you, how like going into like an opening night, have you changed kind of your perspective, like coming here and to like now being like a senior? Cause like, I know for me, when I played my first football game, like I was just absolutely like about to pee my pants. Like I felt like I was going to throw up. And then now like here, like before games, like I feel super confident. Like I'm calm. I can calm myself now. So is that kind of the similar way or is it still like a lot of nerves?
Yeah. Especially during high school. It was very much like as you stood at the wing before you walk in, it was like full of adrenaline, like, all right, we got to do this. I got this, like thinking a lot. Now I don't feel anything. I walk up to the stage and I just casually stroll out and play my part perfectly and walk back out. Yeah. I feel nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of like you mentioned in high school, it was like everything that had to go on the show, like even though I had a small part and I was in a group of people, I was in the ensemble. So really there was nothing I could really mess up. It was still very nerve wracking. And I was the kind of person who didn't want to be in front of people at all, which really like was eating at me the entire time I was on stage. But now, I mean, as you say, I wouldn't say that I'm like nerve free. I still do have nerves. And I think that's a really good thing. Cause like, I'm scared that I want to give the best presentation that I can. But it's a lot less, I can go out and do it like, and it's no problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I still have nerves and I think that's a really good thing. The fact that I still have those nerves there too of, am I going to do a good job? Am I going to make the audience laugh? Which hopefully we get to do one more time.
You know, this question is just kind of to get you guys like thinking a little bit, but you know, like in a society that's just like mainly like digital and like everything's online, like how do you guys think like theater like survives like in a society like this? Do you think there's a draw to like the press box at all? I mean, like how does it survive?
Oh, that's a fun one. The cynical answer is that it's all just snobs and family members keeping it alive. It's the family and friends of people who are in the show and snobs who think that the theater is better than movies, which I might be one of those snobs. But it's something about, you hear people say it a lot, especially in the theater, that like you get, there's a connection between seeing a real person like physically in front of you doing a part that's just not the same as watching one on a movie. I think it's similar to like seeing a live performance of music. Like when you're actually in the room with the instruments and the sound is there, it's a completely different experience than the watching a music video on like the TV or your phone.
And I mean, the audience is as much a part of the show as we are. So if they're laughing, we're going to wait for them to stop laughing. Like we want them to feel like they're controlling the speed of the show almost. Mm-hmm. So I think like that connection between the audience and the actors on stage is a really crucial part of why people still want to come and watch us.
Mm-hmm. I find it's a lot of repeat people. Like, sure, once or twice, you'll get a new person who's like, oh, I've never seen this show before. I decided to drop in. But more than likely, it's going to be like a group of people that always goes and sees the shows. They're like, oh, they're putting on a new one over here. Let's go see it. Like, it's just, there's people who that's their thing. They want to go see it, and we're here for that.
Gotcha. Well, that'll just about do it for us. Do you guys want to plug your show before we head out?
Sure thing.
Pull Do you know the dates of the show?
It should be the weekend of the 11th, but I'm not. I don't have the exact dates.
Let me find the dates.
We're prepared. While Sean is pulling that up, it's the Matchmaker here at Firth. Students get in free, $10 for adults, or rather, $10 for adults, $5 for non-Trine students. All Trine students and faculty get in free.
It's April 11th and 12th at 7 p.m., and then April 13th at 2 p.m.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Owen, do you have anything before we close?
Yeah, I mean, I did it on the last one. So, guys, this is probably the most important question of the pod. Waffles or pancakes?
Waffles.
I prefer pancakes.
You're so wrong.
Well, thank you guys again. If you haven't already, make sure you guys find follow Trine Hack on Instagram and Trine Janin. And we will see you guys next time on the Behind the Scenes podcast.